Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob here. Just a quick announcement before we get to the Walking Dead podcast. So what we did last night was our first ever Walking Dead recap on our brand new website for scripted TV podcast, which is called Post Show Recap. So the Walking Dead recap is moving to our sister website at Post Show Recaps. I figure just in case you didn't get the word before we did it this week, I'm putting one last Walking Dead podcast in the Rob Has a Podcast feed. And then after this week, you're going to have to get it on postshowrecaps.com. Hope you guys enjoy the podcast, and I hope you come on over and check out some of our scripted TV podcasts at postshowrecaps.com. The Walking Dead has just ended, but we're just getting started. That's right. This is the post-show recap of Walking Dead. It's Walking Dead Live. And now, here are the two guys who've missed you even when you were here. It's Rob Cesarino and Josh Wigler. Hey, Josh, how are you doing? And welcome to the first ever official show on post-show recaps.
How about that? How does that feel? That's pretty cool, huh?
Pretty exciting. It's been a couple months.
History in the making.
History in the making. Much like Rick, we haven't quite left the old website, but we have left it behind as far as scripted TV recaps go. And we are here very excited to be on post-show recaps. Still in beta. So we're working here. We are live. It's Sunday night, and we are going to be taking your questions here live on the show and talking about everything that happened in the mid-season premiere of The Walking Dead. So, Josh, before we get started and talk about everything from tonight, I just want to say, so new show, new channel, new everything. So we're going to have a new podcast feed, and we've got a new YouTube channel, which is Post Show Recap. So if you're watching here the video on YouTube, we would love it if you'd subscribe to the channel. We've got a lot coming. We've got The Walking Dead Live coming every Sunday night here for the next 8 weeks, talking about everything that happened on Walking Dead. That should take us right into Game of Thrones Live. Which is going to be coming on in this time slot after Walking Dead ends. And this week we are going to start the premiere of House of Cards Live, which is kind of an oxymoron and kind of crazy.
But that's exciting. Yeah, how are you planning that? How does that work?
Well, the
podcasts come at once?
No, well, sort of. We are going to drop a House of Cards podcast on you every day for 12 days in a row when the new season kicks off this weekend. Myself and Zach Brooks. We will be podcasting one episode of House of Cards every day for 12 days. So then they're there when you need them. That's what we're working on post-show recaps.
Oh, my gosh. That's commitment.
It's a lot of commitment. It's a lot of podcasts.
That's a lot of Kevin Spacey.
It's a lot of Spacey. All right. So let's get into tonight's episode. And I think what I want to do is let's talk sort of broad strokes, whether we like the episode or not, thumbs up or thumbs down. And then let's just sort of go through it chronologically and talk about everything that happened tonight in a very – Carl and Michonne heavy episode.
Sure.
Hold on, one last thing. And let me just also say it's interactive. We've got a new hashtag for post show recaps. We're going with PS recaps. So use that hashtag. We were thinking about PSR, but there's other people that are Pit Stop Radio and stuff like that. So to not confuse it, we want to have our own hashtag that nobody else is using. PS recaps, use that hashtag. Scott St. Pierre is on the other side of the computer. He's going through everything. We've got the chat room going. And, of course, you could post your comments on the YouTube video itself. And if you want to subscribe to our YouTube channel or watch this after the fact, you can go to postshowrecaps.com/YouTube. All right, Josh, broad strokes. Take it away.
All right. I would say, I really liked the idea of this episode a lot, and I like what it suggests for how the season could move going forward. I like that it was really focused, it was contained, it wasn't a ton of extraneous plots that you don't care about. I feel like everything that was on the screen mattered, and it hasn't always been that way this season. There were a lot of episodes in the front half that I felt like the show was kind of, I think you agreed, that the show was sort of dragging its feet a little bit, and I felt like this was very tightly focused on two characters, and I really liked that. I thought that was refreshing. I'm not the world's biggest Carl fan, so some of that was a little hard to sit through, but I love Michonne, and I thought her stuff was tremendously good. And even the stuff that wasn't working for me was fun and exciting. So I don't know. I was pretty happy with it. As far as the show goes, I think it was pretty good.
Yeah, I think it was a good show too. And I was thinking about, you know, sort of like from a big picture standpoint, and this is a show that really doesn't have an end game and that we know of. Like, this is a show that really could just go on forever as long as there are people who are still alive in the zombie apocalypse world. And it's not a super plot-driven show, whereas, like, on a show like Lost, it was like, oh, they, you know, are trying to get off the island, or they're trying to unravel the mystery or something like that. But at the end of the day, other than, hey, they're just trying to find someplace where they're not going to get eaten by zombies, there is no sort of overarching big plot that's happening. So if you're not taking time to know these characters, then I don't know what the hell you are doing on this show. So it's I think this was a good sort of, even though I can understand a lot of people are probably not going to be loving the Carl stuff, I still felt like when the show slows down and you get to know these characters, I think that's probably, they're better off telling one or two stories than trying to tell 10 stories.
I absolutely agree. I think that's why I really loved the Governor episodes early in the season. I know not everybody did. A lot of people thought, you know, it was kind of a waste of time, especially if he's going to be killed in, you know, an episode later. But I do love when Walking Dead stops down and really just puts its eye on one or two characters in really sharp focus. And I thought this was great for that reason. And I also like when the show experiments a little bit, you know, like with the dream sequence this episode, I thought was wacky and weird. And, you know, this show should take some risks like that every now and then. And it's not always going to work, but I thought it was cool, and I was excited about that. But you're right. Overall, it's not like Lost. It's not about, you know, what is the island. It's not even about what is the zombie virus. It's never been about that. It's always been about the characters. Kirkman, the creator, Robert Kirkman, envisioned it as the zombie movie that never ends. And, you know, that right there tells you what the structure of the show is. So I agree. I think, you know, this show needs to stop and focus on its characters. And as far as coming back from however long, a 2-month break, I think that this was an important way to start.
And then real quick, do you think that this is going to be the last we're going to see Carl and Rick and Michonne for a little while? Do you think now that we'll go and now have a whole other adventure next week with Daryl and with Glenn and whoever else?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I don't know if it'll be too long, but I don't expect we'll see them much, if at all, next week. And I think that's great. I don't like when the show tries to have three storylines going on at once. I like it when it's kind of focused like this. So I'm excited about that. I don't mind missing Rick and Carl for a week.
Okay. Well, so many different things to get to. Let's go through it sort of chronologically and sort of pick up the action from the start, where Michonne, we start off with Michonne sort of in the aftermath of the big attack on the jail. And she, you know, we sort of start to see how she's very upset about all of this. She ends up with some new pet zombies that she decides to do this. How come nobody else ever attempts to do this? Only Michonne seems to have this one trick.
Well, I feel like the katana is kind of an essential tool in this trick. You know, you've got the long reach, you've got the sharp instrument. You know, what's Rick going to do? He's going to hatchet it off. He could barely hatchet that one zombie in the head. So I think it's about the tools they've got at their disposal. This is a Michonne trick. Plus, it's a cool image to see Michonne with these things. I think it's great.
Sure. Everybody sort of just left Michonne for dead. They felt like, all right, she can handle herself. And don't worry about her.
Yeah, she just sort of snuck off into the distance. You know, she's a loner by nature, so I think that's just it. Kind of, you know, in the hecticness of everything, I think that's just how it shook out. Yeah.
Josh, were you sad when Michonne found Herschel's head?
That was tough. That was brutal. You know, it's funny. I didn't even think about that as a possibility going into the episode. You know, I had heard whispers that, you know, we might see like the governor's body lying around. It had never occurred to me that there would be any like visible Herschel follow-up. Obviously it's going to have an impact on his daughters and everybody else, in terms of where the story is going and where the characters are, but I didn't think we'd see him again. Certainly not like that. And it's such an obvious thing to do, and I'm so glad they did it. I thought it was a really great scene.
Yeah. Very sad.
Yeah.
yeah. Maybe there could have been a short-lived, 90s sitcom on Fox about Herschel's head, but they decided not to go in that direction.
Yeah, it could have been like the end of Prometheus. Spoiler alert, you know?
Sure. Anyway, all right, so then we go to Carl. And boy, you know, Carl was not, he was speed walking dead early on in the episode, not even waiting for Rick to catch up.
Yeah, he's pretty angry, huh? He was, you know, he was not pleased. He did not want to slow down or wait up for Rick at all. You know, hard to blame him. He's a young guy. He's still figuring himself out. I remember what I was like at that age. I was no fun. you know, so I get where he's coming from. But yeah, he was pissed.
Yeah, and I'm saying to myself, boy, why is Carl so pissed off at Rick? I don't understand why he was so mad at him. Do you feel like he had justification to be as pissed off at Rick as he was?
I think that he, you know, he experiences this big I told you so moment, you know, where he had been the one that was really chomping at the bit to stay fit and trained and eagle-eyed with the gun and everything. And everybody else was focused on barbecues and farming and knife class. And he wanted to, I think that there's something a little bit off about him, frankly. You know, he kind of wants to be in action hero mode. You sort of see that with the video game scene. You know, he almost, you know, he has to really stop himself from not playing Xbox, which I thought was pretty funny. So yeah, I think that he's mad that that was the situation, that they were completely unprepared for the prison attack. And if he had had it his way, they would have all been very ready. So I don't know if he's justified in it, but I see where he's coming from.
Don't you think that Carol should just show up out of the woodwork and adopt Carl? Wouldn't that be really a match made in heaven, Carol?
That would be a good tandem.
Yeah, two peas in a pod.
Yeah, I think that would be good.
Yeah, absolutely. And Rick, I felt like, is looking a little zombie-like after his beatdown from the governor.
Yeah, no, he's in rough shape. That dude got hit pretty hard, I guess. He's not doing well.
He took a real beatdown, Rick.
Yeah, it was no good. It was it was tough. Hard for Rick.
Yeah, so then, you know, they have the sequence where they go into the bar and they see the first guy and they're trying to there's a lot of zombie clearing in this episode and
right.
You know, Rick tells Carl not to waste the bullets, and you knew at some point Carl is going to be one bullet short in the gun after
right.
Rick tells him not to waste the bullet there.
Yeah, I feel like that's, you know, it's not said enough on that show. I feel like more characters need to hear that. Stop shooting your guns. It's a noise issue in the zombie apocalypse. You don't want to attract more to you. And I think that you sometimes see these characters being pretty liberal with their firearms. So I appreciated him telling that, and I certainly understood and expected Carl not to listen whatsoever.
Yeah, and so Rick has a real close call with the hatchet with the zombie there
yeah.
also behind the bar. What was the significance of the note there? That can you finish what I couldn't finish? What was that the guy who was the zombie wrote that note?
I think that my interpretation was that it was somebody who must have been connected to that walker, wasn't able to kill the walker off, and went off and hoped that somebody would come along and put this guy out of his misery. He just couldn't do it. And I think that obviously it sort of is an early setup for where the episode ends up going, where Carl isn't able to finish the job himself.
Did this walker just have a particularly thick skull? Because, I mean, we've seen other walkers who have just pressed up against a chain link fence and have just their head just collapses from that. But this guy, or is Rick just so weak that he's just, his hatchet chop is so bad?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that guy was on a steady diet of hot sauce for however long, and it just it did something for his skin. It was good stuff. No, I think Rick is in bad shape. Rick is not the guy he used to be. And he needs Carl more than maybe even I realize. He needs his kid.
So Rick and Carl then, they find a house, and they basically hole up in the house, and they find that this place is okay. So what do you think of Carl's zombie-finding technique just to go through the house yelling, hey, a-hole, look, it's the first podcast on a new channel. We'll say, hey, shit face.
There you go.
Hey, asshole.
Yeah, oh, man.
There you go. We'll try to keep these family friendly. But The Walking Dead is not a family friendly
show. It's not a family friendly show. And listen, yes. If AMC can air it, I think post show recaps can air.
Sure.
I don't know. I thought it was I tweeted this. I want to see all of the memes tomorrow. I'm very excited about that. I feel like there's going to be some great internet action out of that scene.
Who would you rather be, asshole or shit face?
I think I would take shit face. Just because I feel like asshole gets a lot of play.
Yeah.
So I would like something that's like a little bit more creative. I would go with another term, but you know, of the two, I would pick shitface, I think.
Yeah, I would pick asshole. So
oh,
that
really?
Would be good. So that could be our honorary
The Walking Dead Live with asshole
and shitface.
Yeah. I'll watch that show.
Sure.
Yeah. Sign me up.
Yeah, so and now we start to see, you know, before Rick then goes to sleep for like 3 days. Then this is when Carl is starting to get a little bratty and talking about how, you know, hey, he felt like, well, first let's talk about he goes up into that room and he's in the kids' room. I thought this was actually kind of a cool scene where he's like sort of like in a room where he probably should be,
right?
Where he should be playing video games and playing Xbox and being sort of like a normal kid. Instead, he's like looking at wires so he can tie up the door and keep the zombies out.
Yeah, I thought that was great. I mean, I just know myself. I mean, this is why we drafted capable survivors to defend us during the zombie apocalypse. Mm-hmm. I'm not a useful guy in this situation. I'm weak. I'm nerdy. It's not going to work out very well. And if I was Carl, it would be very hard for me not to just plop down and put in Arkham Asylum or whatever it was at
his disposal. But there's no power.
I guess there's no power, but I could have pretended. I could have pretended for hours. So, no, I thought that was great. I thought that was a really good scene and kind of a nice touch, you know, a helpful reminder of the parallel life that this kid could be living right now.
So they go ahead and they tie up the door, but Rick wants to put a couch in front of the door just to be safe. And that really annoys Carl because he said, Dad, I did like 16 knots that I did a special knot that Shane taught me.
Right. Name dropper.
Yeah. Remember Shane? Like what's Carl going for there?
Yeah, I don't know. I think, you know, maybe Shane and Carl, you know, were buddies. They bonded. He appreciated where Shane was coming from, I think. And I would say that he probably in that moment wishes that he was with Shane and not Rick. I think that in this situation, there's an argument to be made that Shane has what it takes where Rick doesn't. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that, but I could see Carl thinking that.
Yeah, because it always still bums me out that Rick was in the coma. For how long was Rick in the coma during the zombie apocalypse?
Months. Yeah,
months.
A while.
It was that long? That,
it was,
how did you wake up?
It was weeks and weeks, probably 2 months, I think, is what they said.
2 months?
Yeah, a while.
And there was no power in the hospital and he didn't die?
No.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. Well, anyway, we know that Rick has very regenerative sleep from this episode. But anyway... But I always felt like, you know, Carl never has the you're not my dad thing with Shane. Like, and he never even really tells Rick about, hey, dad, you know what mom was doing while you were in the coma?
Right. Well, he was a younger kid back then. I wonder how in tune with all of that he really
Maybe he
was.
Wishes Shane was his dad.
Yeah, maybe.
He
Listen,
was happy.
I kind of wish Shane was my dad. He's a cool guy.
A good-looking guy.
Good-looking guy. I'd have better genetics.
So... All right, so then after that sequence, then we go to commercial and we come back, and let's talk about this really interesting scene with Michonne, which turns out to be not a flashback, but it's a dream. And so Michonne with basically these two guys, one of them is her lover. Whoa.
Yeah, right?
Hey now.
I loved that.
Loved it. Okay.
So sexy.
So now, Josh, clear this up for me. Are these two guys... the guys that end up becoming the two guys that she's leading around by the chain when we first see her in season 3?
Yeah, I mean, that's first of all, I think it's the clear implication of the scene. I can't remember if they confirmed that on the show.
I think that's what I took away from Talking Dead from tonight's episode.
Yeah, I think... it may have come up last season. They may have already talked about it on the show. I can't remember offhand. I know in the comics that's the case, that, you know, the people that she was walking around with were people that she was close with. So, yeah, I think that that's that's exactly what it was.
But then let's go back to that scene where she killed those two guys, like, for no reason. Like, it was just like, somebody's coming. Like, she just, like, killed those two guys like it was nothing. And there was no, like, oh, my God, this is my boyfriend. Oh, man, I'm so, you know, she just.
You can't even really argue that she knew what the governor was like at that point and, you know, what kind of experiments maybe he would have done with them. So she was trying to spare them a worse fate or whatever.
But not only that, you think that she would have had a little more sympathy for the governor when she found out about his daughter being chained up and not just just offing the governor's daughter.
Yeah, or maybe at that point she had realized that it was something she should have done a while ago. I don't know.
Maybe. Who knows? But it just seems like, you know, to have that reveal now, you would think that there would be a little bit more of an emotional moment after she did that with those guys. And again, I didn't just watch that scene yesterday or anything like that. But I don't remember. You would think that they would have taken some time.
No, they go through it a little quickly back then, if I remember it right. But you know, can't change the past. It is what it is.
It is what it is. That's right.
It is what it is. So she certainly got really emotional this time. So, you know, she's compensating.
So what did we learn about Michonne during this flashback, which sort of starts before the apocalypse and then it's sort of a little bit after. So what did we learn about Michonne in this dream sequence?
Well, she had a baby. She was a mom. And there had already been some good teases about that earlier in the season when she was holding Judith. She was taking care of Judith while Beth was off doing something, probably with her dad. So they had already set that up. I thought that was great that they confirmed that. It's kind of a nice indication that, you know, maybe there's going to be some fun character answers like that in the next few episodes. So I like that a lot.
Was that a boy or a girl was Michonne's baby?
I thought it was a boy.
Okay. And so, well, I guess we'll find out more as we get to the end, because it's sort of like some cryptic Michonne, like, talking to ghosts at the end of the episode.
Right.
But so what do we assume happened to the baby here?
It's probably the same thing that it looks like happened to Judith. Doesn't look like the baby made it out.
You would think that Michonne, of all people, would be able to keep that baby safe.
I think that it seemed to suggest that they had been at some camp, something had happened to their camp, and back in those days, maybe Michonne wasn't quite the hardened, stone-cold badass. So yeah, I think that, you know, she's developing.
Got it. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Do you think that Michonne just picked up the sword after the stuff started going down, or you think that she was sort of like, you know, amateur swords person before all this happened?
Yeah, I think that she it was a learning on the job type of situation. You know, she's figuring it out as she goes.
And who was the other guy? So it was her lover and the lover's bro?
Probably the lover's bro. You know, there's kind of a Three Amigos situation, but the first amigo is gone.
First amigo. Okay.
Yeah. Who was the first amigo?
I don't know. So then she wakes up and.
What did you think of the scene though? I mean, I think it was such a strange scene for Walking Dead to do. They haven't really done much of anything like this. Did you like that they kind of, if it didn't even land well with you, did you like that they took the risk?
I did like that they took the risk. I have to say, I felt like the dialogue between Michonne and the boyfriend, I felt like, was just like a little like on the nose, heavy handed, like for I felt like I did not see those characters, Michonne as like, I don't know, that did not feel true to me. That, you know, I know they were trying to go for a shock of what Michonne was like in the pre-zombie world.
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
That felt a little off to me. What do you think?
I think they're trying to explain why she's so smiley all the time now. You know, it's shades of the past. I like that they went for it. I thought it had a kind of a
good.
Cool
overall thumbs up.
I thought it had kind of a cool Terminator 2 vibe. You know, that scene where Sarah Connor's at the fence and everything like that, and she kind of has this dream flashback to Judgment Day. I love when they do stuff like that. You know, it had sort of a Lost feel to it too. You know, there was all these bizarro dreams that happened on that show. I don't know that I would want it in every single episode, but I thought it was a surprise. I thought that was cool.
Yeah,
it was fun to try and figure out what was going on as the scene was playing out.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah.
So Rick, speaking of sleeping, Rick is going to be out now for a bit. And so now there are some zombies coming at the door. And now I feel like, oh, no, this has turned into Home Alone now for Carl playing Kevin McAllister here. This is my house. We have to protect it.
He had to defend it. Yeah. This scene is straight out of the comics. You know, the show likes to play around with things from the comics. Sometimes they ignore stuff that happened in the comics. Sometimes they'll present it very faithfully. Sometimes they'll riff on it. This was a really faithful reproduction of a really fun scene in the comics. And I thought they did a pretty good job with it. that I win line at the end of the whole sequence really rubbed me the wrong way. But
Carl had to be a tough guy.
I know.
And, you know, you know that anytime you see somebody taunting the zombies, you know it's not going to go well.
Right.
And, you know, this is, you know, one of the things that it is a bit of a pet peeve for me with the show.
Yeah.
You know, there's always every zombie is
right.
Except for the one that's sneaking up on you. That
right.
guy is always, you never hear that guy coming.
Yeah, that guy's an introvert.
Yeah.
Not very talky.
But
that
so,
guy, bad, he would be a bad podcast guest.
He would be. He would be. Yeah. So, you know, Carl is, you know, he's taunting them. He's walking backwards. He's being a show off. And then you knew something bad was going to happen. So ultimately, he ends up falling over and then ends up with the zombies. And, you know, he comes away from it. You know, he has to shoot them. And he ends up, he says, I win.
I win.
And cool. And
yeah.
I felt like that Carl did not have the same takeaway from this that he should have. I felt like the takeaway should have been, oh, man. I am in over my head.
Yeah.
As opposed to I'm awesome.
Yeah. I agree completely. You know, if that had been me, it would have just confirmed my suspicions that I'm an indoors kid and I should stay indoors and leave this to the big guns. But no, he took the wrong message from it and stayed very cavalier, and that led him into some more trouble later on in the episode.
Even though he puked.
He did puke.
Yeah.
It was a boot and rally.
You know, I also felt like it had that been me and then I had three zombies on top of me, I think I would have been bolting out of there much quicker than Carl really took like, woo, whoa, yeah. That close one.
Yeah.
Boy, woo, you know?
Yeah, he was a little sluggish.
A little slow getting out of there. I think think that adrenaline might have been telling you to, you know, fight or flight would have really taken over at that point.
Yeah, it's a thin line between cocky and confident, and I think he was the former in this case.
Yeah. So now Michonne is sort of like traveling in the pack with the zombies. I don't really know where she's going. Did you feel like that this was a smart idea for Michonne to sort of just go with the flow, see where all the zombies are going?
Well, you know, she had survived on her own before. She probably figures that she can do it again. Obviously, she breaks down and realizes she needs people, or at least needs to try and find her people. So I think she realized it was ultimately a bad idea. But no, I think that clearly she's just in a rough place, mentally, emotionally, physically. She's not doing well and not making the best decisions she can.
So is that smart? Because the zombies then find where the people are. So that's a good thing to do, just like follow them to go where they'll lead you where people are.
That's not a bad play, actually.
Yeah, that's pretty smart.
That's a good way of looking at it, yeah.
Are you buying that if you cut the mouths and hands off the zombies, that the other zombies won't bite you? Do you buy that?
It's one of those things that works.
I get it's in the mythology of the show. I get it, but I just
it's one of those things that works really well on the page and looks really cool when Charlie Adler's drawing it. It's harder to buy in live action. You know, I was fine with the few times that they've, you know, put zombie guts on themselves and walked around. Like, I think that makes sense. But, you know, she's not even that close to the pets. You know, the pets are kind of way out in front of her. She's sort of like hanging in the back. She doesn't smell all that bad. I don't think she smells all that bad. And that to me is a little bit hard to swallow.
Yeah. whatever, minor thing.
Minor thing. It still looks cool.
Michonne runs into a Michonne doppelganger.
Right.
And that really doesn't sit well with her. Now, do you think, now again, we had this big dream sequence. Was that real? Was the Michonne doppelganger a real thing that she saw, or was that a figment of her imagination?
I think the first one was a figment, but or maybe not, because I don't remember exactly how it's choreographed later on when she turns on the zombies, but does she kill the one that looks like her? I think she does.
Yeah, she does.
So I don't know. Ambiguous. It's up to your interpretation, I guess.
Up to your interpretation. Okay. Yeah. So then back at the house, Rick is, you know, sleeping away, back in another coma, and here comes Carl, and he's bragging about how this all went down. And you feel like, if I'm Carl, I'm not bragging about how that all went down before. I'm a little embarrassed.
Yeah, I think Carl, as I said earlier, he's in that stage of life where you're just kind of insufferable. And I think that, you know, he's staying very true to that in this scene. You know, he thinks that he's king of the world. He's getting the wrong message out of what just happened. He's, you know, he thinks that he put in, you know, the Contra code. He's all set.
Right.
I think it's Carl being Carl. And right now, Carl's not a guy I would choose to hang out with.
Now, is Carl growing up a little too fast in your mind? Is he getting into the Walt syndrome? I'm not talking about Walter White or Walter Jr. The OG Walt. Do you feel
Walt
like
Lloyd?
Because I feel like that, boy, Carl really is. Feels like he's grown about 6 inches since the end of the last season.
Carl and Walt. I see the connection there. I think that the show is doing a better job than the comics does about the passage of time, because in between seasons, you know, it's at least half a year every time. He's definitely older. I would be curious to know, you know, within the show, how old exactly is he? I would guess probably, you know, 14 or 15. So he looks about that age.
Yeah.
But I feel like, you know, maybe like 2 years have passed on the show at this point.
Yeah, he's getting tall.
He's getting tall and the voice is changing. It's kind of crazy how much he looks like Laurie. It's a little scary. I feel like they cast that pretty well just on looks. I feel like he really looks like Sarah Wayne Callies' kid, which it's always a little creepy to see.
So he ends up having this big tantrum there when Rick is sleeping, and he says a couple of things. He says, you know, basically he blames Rick for everybody at the prison dying, for Herschel dying, for Laurie dying, for Judith dying. So he basically puts everything at Rick's feet and says, I don't need you anymore, and I'd be fine if you died, which was, wow. I was really taken away by that.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing that, you know, you regret that kind of comment for the rest of your life. No, it was bad. It was a bad scene. Hard scene.
Yeah. But the good news is that Rick was asleep during the whole thing. He never heard it. So that it's sort of like it didn't happen.
Right, exactly. You can kind of pretend that that didn't exist.
Yeah. But no, I did feel like that was, you know, while I'm saying like, oh, man, this kid's a real ingrate. But I did think it was, I thought that it was well acted throughout the episode. Like, I feel like there are some of these people where, you know, when you're watching like AJ Soprano or some of these other people, where it's like you're annoyed that the kid is a bad actor in addition to being annoying, whereas I feel like Carl is annoying as a character, but well acted.
Yeah, I think I would mostly agree with that. I think that, you know, again, he's obviously knee-deep in puberty right now, that kid, and there's some changes going on and some annoying stuff that goes along with that. But I think that you know, he's making some good choices, I think, in his scenes, and he delivers dialogue in some fun ways. So, I have no problem with Chandler Riggs. I have problems with Carl Grimes, and I think that those are separate things. You know, it's not the actor's fault.
Yeah. So as Rick's sleeping, Carl then runs away to another house on the same block, which really kind of half-assed the whole running away, right?
Yeah.
So then he goes into the new house and he finds this vat of pudding, which I really enjoyed this, because I feel like that, you know, you basically have like the Carl who thinks he's the badass, but also this Carl who's the 14-year-old who will eat a giant vat of pudding like he should be doing.
Yeah, 112 ounces of pudding, he says. That's a lot of pudding.
Yeah. Have you ever seen canned pudding like that? Is that a thing?
Not in that size. I'm a snack pack man myself usually. those are smaller. Yeah, this was like a Walter White barrel of money of pudding.
Yeah, or methylene.
Yeah.
You could imagine like Carl like pushing a barrel of pudding through the desert.
Oh yeah, I would love that. That'd be great.
And then the Nazis are gonna come and say, I think we're gonna have to take the pudding.
Uncle Jack, he's a big pudding fan. I've heard about this.
Yes. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
But anyway, so the pudding I thought was really great.
I think that was one of the funniest things the show's ever done. I would that would go on my funny 115 of Walking Dead.
Yes, mine too. So Carl, he's doing a clearing of the house. And so before we get to the zombie in the bedroom, he opens one of the bedroom doors and he sees something on the floor and the camera sort of pans in on it. But I couldn't make out what that was.
I completely missed this. I didn't even see this.
Yeah, they sort of like keyed in on that, like the room he goes in before. There's like something, I was like, is that a dead bird? I couldn't make out what that was. Maybe somebody in the chat room can give us a better
sense. I'll have to go back and look.
It's a little bit of like the like dissected rat from the previous episode of Walking Dead. They're sort of like, what is that? What is that?
All these dead animals, very symbolic.
I don't know. So then we have like the oldest trick in the Walking Dead book of opening the door, and there just happens to be a SBD, silent but deadly, right behind the door.
And you know what, though? I jumped. I got to admit that I, you know, for whatever reason, at this point, I should see that coming, and I did not see it coming. So, you know, kudos to the show. You got me.
Yeah. So I felt like Carl really makes some questionable decisions during this fight with the zombie, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, the whole way this plays out is kind of amazing. You know, you referenced Kevin McAllister earlier, and I think he would have been very disappointed with his tactics here.
Yeah. So, okay, the zombie gets the jump on Carl. We get that, and sort of he shoots him, but he just like grazes him with the bullet. Is that what happened?
Yeah, it looked like it connected. It just didn't connect as it wasn't on point.
And so he gets him on the floor, and that's fine. But you know, I felt like Carl, it seemed like two different times he gets caught up in the I gotta close the door
right.
on the zombie, and these books are on the floor, and they're stopping him from pulling the door shut. And I kind of felt like the move was, as the zombie is going to is gathering himself, I feel like you find an object here and now you wait for your shot instead of you know, fiddling with the door, fussing with the window. I felt like he wasted a lot of time here in this fight.
Yeah, I agree. You know, you get up, you collect yourself, you take a breath, you find you know, some sort of object, and you go to town. He did not do that.
Yeah, especially in, you know, when he's trying to get the window open.
Or you just run. You just run out of the house. Get out of the house. You know, that's the horror movie trope.
So then when he finally gets that door shut, he's like, woo. And he's like has his back up against the door. Like, I feel like he's really like hanging around. Like, I'd be out of that house.
You know, he's that Carl. Kid is a lot more chilled out than I am. I'll tell you that. I would listen. I would have produced 112 ounces of chocolate pudding in that moment. I don't think you would have wanted to eat it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well done. So then he tags the door, and what is it? The zombie got my shoe, but he didn't get me.
Yeah.
Again, is a little bit of a sounds like a little bit of a humble brag.
Yeah. Hashtag humble brag for sure. Yeah.
A little humble brag there.
Yeah, you know, I'd buy that shirt, though. It's a good slogan.
Yeah. So then I was a little confused by this. The shot was so dark, and I was watching this on my sling box from it was on downstairs, but I wanted to be up here to set stuff up. So I'm watching this in my sling box, and it was a little dark, and I couldn't really one more thing before we get to that. So then this was very puzzling to me. So then Carl goes back and gets the pudding, and then goes up on the roof to sort of be like 10 feet away from the zombie who's like sticking his hand out the window trying to get him. What happens if the zombie gets out there? Carl's going to jump off the roof now?
I think Carl has proven himself not to be the greatest decision maker in the apocalypse.
That was questionable. That was
questionable call.
Highly questionable call there, Carl.
Yeah, it was the bad move. You know, he just really wanted that pudding. He wanted a nice breeze on his face. You know, you get a little hot if you're eating that much pudding, I think. You get the sweat.
Could have eaten the pudding in the house or somewhere else. I felt like on the roof, right? You know, you're telling me that zombie couldn't just, you know, break through that plate glass window if he wanted to?
Yeah, and beyond that, I mean, what a jerk not bringing that home at all for his dying dad. That's such a uncool move.
What's worse, I wish you were dead or you can't have any pudding?
I would be really mad about the pudding.
You'd be, because you know what? As somebody speaking as a survivor person, that's sort of like when you went on a reward.
And bad pudding etiquette.
Home, and he didn't. He chose not to. He did not bring the reward home.
Yeah, he could have at least, you know, put some in his pockets and, you know, snuck it away from production and none of that.
Yeah. All right. So then we have this big sequence, which is probably like the biggest fight scene of the show, where we have Michonne just goes nuts again. Yeah. Actually, in the beginning of the episode, too, she kind of did the same thing, where she just is going to kill.
Yeah, but she goes ballistic here. She hits her limit break big time. Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, again, did this really happen, or is this sort of a daydream?
I don't think that there's much to indicate that it didn't happen. You know, she's hanging out with all these zombies earlier in the episode, and then later in the episode now she's not hanging out with all these zombies. I think she probably killed them all. I think that you can safely add this to the very real body count that she has under her belt.
Michonne going like Anakin Skywalker on all these zombies.
Tusken Raider, yeah, no. Attack of the Clones, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. So she goes crazy, she flips out, even kills the two zombies that were helping her. Really, very ungrateful from Michonne.
Right. Well, I think that she's proven that if she wants to find more pets, it's not going to be too hard.
But yet, it seemed like this was a bit cathartic for Michonne after this whole thing happens, and she even kills the Michonne doppelganger,
right?
And she's sort of feeling better.
Yeah, it's a breakthrough. It really is. You know, she really, you know, therapy is not really happening in the apocalypse, I don't think. So this is as close as it gets. I think this was good.
Yeah, my therapist is always telling me the same thing. Just go let off some steam, find like 12 zombies, and just go to town.
Yeah, just get a baseball bat if you can. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we might go to the same person.
So anyway, so here's the scene that I was talking about before, where it was like a super dark scene. I couldn't really tell what was going on. So Carl is in the house, and then he assumes that a zombie has reached him.
It's he thinks that his dad has turned. He thinks his dad has died and has come back as a zombie.
Oh, did he go back to the house?
Yeah, he's back. He's back with Rick now. So he's back with Rick. He's backing away. You know, for all of that smack talk he had laid down earlier in the episode, when the time comes, he can't bring himself to kill his own dad, which I thought was interesting, considering he had very little reluctance killing his mom a season ago. So that was the moment there.
Okay, so I thought that Carl was still in the other house.
No.
And that Rick had managed to crawl to, and like, how did he even know what house he was in?
Right. That would be impressive.
Yeah.
Listen, okay, I would give Rick mad props for that.
Thank you for clearing that up for me.
You got it.
So
that's what I'm here for.
Rick was okay. He was not a walker.
No. He's all right for now.
So then meanwhile, Michonne is getting closer. She's then somehow is able to end up at the same bar. How was Michonne able to sort of like get on the track? Like on Lost, they would do this a lot. Like, oh, I've been tracking you. I've been following you through the jungle. I could tell what leaves are being broken. But how was Michonne able to follow Rick and Carl's exact footsteps?
Yeah, she must have gone to the John Locke school of tracking. You know, she's good at it. I don't know. She followed the footsteps, probably didn't know exactly who they were, and just figured this is probably somebody I know, or hopefully somebody I know. It's certainly a person. So I'll go that way. Why not? Okay.
So then Michonne...
It's good fortune. You know, these guys need a little bit of good luck every now and then.
Yeah. So she sees what happened with the zombie there, and she sees the note too. So then she comes out and she has a very interesting sort of talk allowed conversation to herself. Right. And I wrote down what she said. I want to know if you can give me any insight into this.
All right, sure.
She says, I miss you even when I was with you. And then she also says, I know why. I know why it happened.
Huh.
So what the heck is Michonne talking about?
Something must have happened to drive a wedge between these two before the inevitable death of her sweet, sweet lover.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe we'll find out. You know, I think that it's entirely possible that this story is not closed. I think that there's more to tell here.
I miss you even when I was with you. What happened? Love on the Rocks?
That's a Hallmark card, I believe.
Yes. I miss you. I missed you even when I was with you. I'm going to try that with, try that with Nicole and tell her that.
Yeah, I think that'll work.
Okay. So what does she think she knows why what happened? She knows why the baby died. She knows.
Yeah,
why
that would be my guess is something along those lines. I don't think that it was anything much more profound than that.
But is it like it was a mystery why the baby died, or she's sort of like, oh, why did this happen to me? And now she's like, oh, I know why this happened to me.
Yeah, I think it's something along those lines.
Okay. So then we have Carl and Rick, and they're sort of having, you know, happy father-son time. Everybody's getting along. And then Michonne comes to the door. She actually is able to figure out which house they're in, even. I don't know if they have a sign up, hey, Michonne, we're in here.
Right.
So she figures that out. And so she comes and, you know, maybe they have a special knock.
Right.
Now, does Rick know it's Michonne or is,
yeah, I mean, they don't show it, but he looks through the peephole and, you know, okay. that's why he breaks down laughing and everything. I loved how this episode ended. I thought that was good TV. You know, very, very funny, very touching, you know, a nice kind of bright spot to end what was otherwise a kind of bleak episode.
It's for you.
It's for you. I thought that was good. That's funny.
Yeah. So I don't know. I felt like it was a very un-Walking Dead ending. I feel like they always end with a cliffhanger, and this was sort of like a soft way to kick off this mid-season. But
that's why I say that I really like this episode, at least in terms of, you know, kind of the idea of the episode and some of the things that they were trying to do. Is I think that this, it, in a lot of ways, does feel different from The Walking Dead that we, you know, normally watch. It felt a lot more self-contained. It felt like its own story. It felt like the story wrapped up within the episode. And I don't know, to me, that was really satisfying. I feel like after the first half of the season that we went through that was so, you know, so very much driving towards the prison collapsing, that right now the fate is really uncertain for a lot of these characters. And it's important to kind of give them closure where we can. So I really liked that. I thought that was good and different for the show, and I was happy about it.
Yeah, I liked the episode. I thought the ending was a little soft, but
different strokes. Different strokes for different folks.
All right, so let's get into some questions here. Of course, we have been following your tweets, your comments all through the episode. Hashtag PS recaps. Of course, we have the chat room going as well, and you can post your comments on the YouTube video. So let me go ahead and bring in your comments. Now we'll answer your questions here on the inaugural episode of Walking Dead Live. Here
we go. So exciting.
Here we go. Let's start with number one. This is from Mo Silky Mo, a.k.a. Mona, who wants to know, now why is Michonne still hanging around the prison? Okay, so I guess this is from the beginning of the episode. Yeah, how come she didn't book? How come she was the only one, like, oh, man? They had, like, black smoke coming out of the prison, which I thought meant there might have been a new leader elected.
Right, or, you know, the others were back
in
town. Oh,
yes, yeah. Yes.
No, I think they, not to promote the other show about Walking Dead that's on at this hour, but on Talking Dead, I was watching a little bit about that, and they mentioned that she had gone back to find Herschel's remains. You know, I had actually forgotten that Michonne had a front row seat to that show. She was right there next to him when that happened. So I think that's at least the director's answer to that question.
Okay. Yeah. This is from Martin V. Question to Rob and Josh. If you found it first, would you share a tub of pudding to the other person, or will you just eat it alone on the roof like Carl? I don't think you could eat a tub of pudding by yourself.
Yeah, I think that would be hard. Listen, I'm a sizable dude. I can eat a lot. I can put some food away. I don't think that I could do 112 ounces of pudding on my own.
No, I
We
don't
would
think
need
so.
to join forces here.
Yeah, no, that's even more than $240 worth of pudding.
Yeah, it's a lot.
A lot of pudding.
It's a lot of pudding.
Okay, let's go to the next question. Let me see if I can get it up here. Josh, are you able to see the question?
No, I'm
Not yet.
not.
Okay. All right.
Party
So
foul.
that's fine. So let me try one more time. You know, sometimes it could be a little fickle. We're live on the Google Hangout. All right. So, or Scott, if you want to just post them in the chat room too, we could do it that way as well. We'll adapt on the fly like Carl and make sure our plans will all work out. Okay.
Yeah, if we
So,
fall down, we can get back up again.
yeah. Now, did it bother you at all? Now, we only have 7 episodes left in this season, though. That's my
Right.
only complaint with when we take it so slow, we don't get to see everybody. There's only 7 episodes left, and then we're back in a hiatus.
Yeah, it's true. But I just feel like when this show tries to take on too much, it never works. You know, when they're trying to have three different stories, sometimes four different stories going on at the exact same time, it never lands right for me. So I am, you know, honestly, 7 episodes isn't nothing. You know, it's a decent amount of show that's still left ahead of us.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty optimistic about it. I think that it's going to be all right. You know, we'll get our Daryl Dixon crossbow fixed soon enough.
Yeah, just as a reminder, here's who else is still out there that we didn't get to see. So we saw Rick Carl Michonne this week. We
Right.
still have five other potential groupings of
Right.
Daryl and Beth we didn't see this week. Maggie, Sasha, and Bob, and I don't know if we're gonna get them next week or not. Tyrese, Lizzie, and the kids. Glenn and the sick old people. In the previews, it looks like we saw Glenn at least, and we saw Daryl and Beth. You think we're seeing the other two groups as well?
Yeah, I think that they showed Maggie, they showed Sasha. I couldn't tell if it was you know, more of a long view preview, you know, kind of teasing up the rest of the season, which they sometimes do, or if this was everything that we're going to see in the coming episode. That's a lot of characters who are, you know, very, very separated right now. So this is the kind of thing that I tend to fear, is that the show is going to try and do too much. So I hope that some of those storylines combine pretty early on in this next episode, or I hope that some of those guys are going to sit out.
Okay, so Scott, it looks like Scott rebooted here. Let's see if we can get the questions back. Here
All
we
right.
go. Yes. So this is from Mona wants to know, how are they still finding supplies within walking distance? Hashtag The Walking Dead. Oh,
Yeah.
that's a fair question.
It's a great question. I mean, that pudding is untouched royalty in the apocalypse. That was a find. That would have been the first thing I took before a weapon, probably. I mean,
Yeah.
it frankly could be used as a weapon.
And really, not even just walking distance, but the distance that Rick can walk in his state right now.
Right,
Like,
right.
they really, like, I mean, could they have been a mile from the prison? I mean, 2 miles
They had to be pretty
tops?
close. Yeah, I think, you know, that guy was not running any marathons. You know, he needed a pit stop pretty quick.
Not only that, you would think in between all of the other looters and then, you know, the 9 months or whatever that they were like foraging through other people's houses, you can't believe they didn't hit this block.
Yeah, totally. And even the bar was still loaded with hot sauce. I'm still, you know, I'm still kind of mourning that. That's a missed opportunity. Hot
Yeah.
sauce is key, spice of life.
That's key. All right. From Brian Scally, he wants to know, do you think that Michonne shows up with Carl's lost shoe? Do you think that is that possible?
I think maybe she'll go get it.
Oh, well, that would
You
be
know,
good. That would be good.
the kid needs a shoe. I think that, you know, maybe she'll go there and she'll finish the job.
I was also saying that I was surprised that, you know, Carl didn't like look for any different clothes in you would think that would be a huge deal
Yeah.
to sort of show up
Yeah.
at somebody's house and it's like, oh, okay, well I could put some new clothes on, not
Yeah,
have to wear the same shirt every day.
you got the sense that maybe whoever lived there before, probably if not same style choices, probably, you know, had a age appropriate attire. Yeah, I think he should have, you know, maybe if not take a shower. I don't know if that was a possibility, but you should change.
I don't think the water is on, but I
No,
think
it's not good.
you could at least, you know, maybe
You can clean up a little bit.
clean up a little bit. Clean up a little
Yeah.
bit. All right. This is from Rachel Kelvey. Who do you think the next episode is about? Well, we saw in the preview, we saw some Maggie and Glenn. I'm sorry, we saw some Glenn, and we saw some Daryl and Beth. It looks like Glenn is on top of the bus is like surrounded by zombies, and Glenn is on top of the bus. So.
Yeah, I think the impression I got there is the bus of old people will not bear fruit the way that I really wanted them to. Or maybe we'll get a really good scene with them before all of that goes to hell.
Is Glenn authorized to drive a bus?
Hey, listen, if Sandra Bullock could do it, I think Glenn will pull it off. He'll be all right. But no, I think, again, I don't know if we'll get to see all of those characters. The one I would say is we'll get Daryl next episode. They're not going to go two episodes without giving us Daryl Dixon.
We need some Daryl. Do you think that the Daryl Beth showmance heats up next week?
Yeah. If it ever heats up, it's going to start next week for sure.
I think so.
I'm excited about that. That's good.
Jordan Basham wants to know, Carl's maturing so fast. Ha ha. Did anyone else see an inkling of a Carl beard happening? Oh, well, this would be a huge development on Walking Dead. Are we seeing these sightings of a Carl beard?
Listen, as somebody who can only grow the neared, I would be very upset to see Carl get a beard before I do. I would be very upset about that.
Oh, that would be huge.
Oh, man. It would make me like Carl Grimes even less, which would be tough to do.
The 5 o'clock shadow runs in Carl's family.
It's true. Yeah, his dad rocks that quite well.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So the permanent 5 o'clock shadow. Yeah. From Mona wants to know, Carl has to get rid of this cowboy hat. What do you think?
Yeah, why? The best was that, so when the walkers come when his dad has just passed out, and he goes out to lure them away, before he goes outside of the house, the hat is not on. Then he comes outside of the house to lure the walkers away, and the hat is on. So he took time to pick up the hat and put it on. Questionable choice for so many reasons. The most important one being that hat just looks goofy. You know, this kid's growing up. You can outgrow the cowboy hat, kid.
He's into the hat.
It's a bad look.
All right, a couple more questions. From Jordan, he wants to know, which group members are going to run into Carol? We all know this is going to happen. I'm rooting for Tyrese. He has the kids, and Carol killed his GF. What do you think is the likelihood of a Tyrese-Carol meetup?
Yeah, I think that's very likely. I think the other obvious one would be Daryl, because they have such history, those two characters. But I think there's a lot of potential with Carol meeting up with Tyrese and them being kind of on their own for a little while, with her obviously knowing what she did and Tyrese not having a clue. And if the two of them kind of grow to depend on each other a little bit, there's some fun drama potential there. And there's, again, some comic book reasons to believe that Carol and Tyrese have unfinished business.
All right, let's do one last question. This is from Chris Berger, who wants to know, the scene where she killed all those zombies was a dream? No, we don't think so.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah, that does not look like it. Maybe one more question. That was a quick one.
Well, I have a question.
Yes, fire away.
So I think the popular theory had been, you know, everybody saw where everybody ended up. Rick and Carl were together. Tyrese had the kids. You know, Daryl and Beth were together, yada, yada, yada. Everybody except Michonne. Nobody really knew where Michonne was. And so there was a lot of theories that maybe she was the one who went in and saved and found baby Judith. It's now clear that that is not the case, and baby Judith is still out there, or dead. So I guess my question is, what do you think? Does this? Yeah, I know that you don't think that she's dead.
No.
I tend to think that she's dead. Do you still believe that she's not dead?
I have seen no evidence to support that the baby is dead.
You think that's still out there then? The question's still out there.
I think it's still out there. I think it's still an unanswered question. I'm still 70-30. I think that we will see somebody has baby Judith.
I would go 60-40 that she's gone.
Okay. That's going to be an interesting subplot to watch.
Yeah, definitely.
We'll see. That would be a nice, like, oh, the baby was still alive. Oh,
right,
my
yeah.
God.
Yeah, because, I mean, the writers have been really cagey about it in all the interviews that followed the finale. And, you know, now that the show's coming back, they're starting to talk about it more. And somebody, I think it was Dalton Ross asked the showrunner, you know, that question. And the showrunner said, Well, the thing is that, you know, even if she is dead, there's certain things that we're not going to show you on TV just because it's stuff you can't see. So if she is dead, I mean, this is something that might be a lingering question for a while if she doesn't show up soon.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. So, there was one other thing I wanted to ask, about, Walking Dead before we got to the end, and, I can't remember what it is. So I guess then this will be the end.
All right. The
cliffhanger. Cliffhanger for you, Josh.
So now we've got a cliffhanger. There you go. You fixed the problem.
I fixed the problem. No, you know, I wanted to ask you, did you see when the Walking Dead cast was on Conan this week?
Yeah, I didn't see the whole thing, but I saw the cold open, which I thought was pretty great.
Yeah, and Carol was with them, right, on Conan?
Yeah, I think she was.
Yeah, so I think that's a big tell that we're gonna see some Carol soon.
Yeah, and her name's still in the credits. You know, she's still a series regular. Then again, so are Herschel and the Governor, so maybe that's not reliable.
Oh. Yeah. All right. One last question. This is from Jordan. This is the same one. Sorry about that. Okay. All right.
Well,
still working out the bugs here. First night post show recaps, but I think this has been an unmitigated success, Josh.
Are the bugs like the virus on Walking Dead? Is that what we're working on?
No, God forbid.
God forbid. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So. I will be back next week on post show recaps. Josh is going to be on assignment next Sunday night, correct?
Yeah, I'll be away to a mysterious foreign land that you guys have no interest in hearing about, I'm sure.
Yes. But we are scheduled to have a really great fill in for Josh. We are going to be speaking with the host of a very thorough, a very amazing, award-winning Walking Dead podcast, Jason Cabassi, who's become a good friend over the last couple of years from going to all of the podcasting expos and whatnot. I just saw him up in San Francisco at the Stitcher Awards. That he is the host of the Walking Dead cast with Jason and Karen. They won the 2013 Best Entertainment Podcast. And we're scheduled to have Jason join us to talk about Walking Dead. And he is a expert. He's been podcasting about the show since the get-go, and we're very lucky to speak with him about Walking Dead next Sunday night.
That's great. I look forward to listening to it.
Yeah, and if you want to get more Walking Dead, this guy that he is to Walking Dead as I am to Survivor, check out the Walking Dead cast with Jason and Karen as well. So, Josh, thank you very much. This was a lot of fun tonight.
Rob, I'm honored to be on the launch of Post Show Recaps. I think this is the beginning of a beautiful thing.
Yeah, hey, it's the launch. You can check on the page for so far the Walking Dead Live podcast for Post Show Recaps has been approved by iTunes. We're still waiting. Probably tomorrow morning we will get the main Post Show Recaps approved in iTunes. The website is coming along. A little bit of a work in progress. Still working with my developer. I say we're about 75% of the way there. And the YouTube channel is up and running. So please subscribe to the YouTube channel, Post Show Recaps. And we love getting your comments. And if you're excited for these Walking Dead recaps, please be generous with your likes and plus ones and favorites and all that good stuff.
Yeah, and we're on Twitter too, I think, right?
Yes, I've just been tweeting as myself, but at Post Show Recaps. We got Twitter, we got Facebook, we got everything. So thanks so much. And thanks to Tyler for moderating the chat tonight. No zombies showing up in the chat Tyler couldn't take care of.
Oh, thank God. Nice work, yeah. Tyler.
All right. Thanks so much, Josh. Follow Josh on Twitter. He's at Round Howard. There you go.
Yes, yes. Ron Howard, but rounder.
Yeah, and I'm at Rob Cesperino. If you're joining us for the first time, thank you so much. We got a lot more fun to come. We're going to start talking House of Cards this week, and we got plenty more fun stuff to come on Post Show Recaps. Have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you again soon.
Bye. All right, take care.